I'd like to read a couple of verses, or read several verses from Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. I was reading the proverb for the day on Monday, which was the 8th, and it just, sometimes things just leap off the page at you, and it did that for me. And I'm going to put Harris on the spot and ask him if he would come up here and take the microphone and read.
Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truths, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all pain to him that understandeth, and right to him that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
Proverbs chapter 8, with wisdom. Wisdom, in this chapter, there's a number of different opinions on who is this wisdom. Is this just wisdom in general? Wisdom personified? Some people say it's Christ. And I won't get into all that, but I think it's obviously the wisdom, and any wisdom that comes from God. So it's God in His wisdom and His Word, He is speaking. Wisdom speaks. The wisdom of God speaks. And in those verses that Harris read, let's notice again a couple of those, starting out in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the past. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. And we could go on with those verses. But wisdom speaks. The wisdom of God speaks. And of course, and it's obvious, the language that He gives, it stands at the top of the high places. It's in the places of the paths, the streets, wherever you walk, wisdom is there. It's at the city gates. It's at the entering in of the door. Wisdom is speaking. The wisdom of God is speaking. And of course, the question is, am I hearing? Am I hearing the wisdom of God? Am I listening to the wisdom of God? Because it's there. It's there. The wisdom of God speaks. Am I listening? Am I hearing the wisdom of God? And I think this is true, obviously, especially for those who have faith and those who believe in God and believe the Word of God. But you know, and I won't spend much time on this, but we do know that wisdom, the wisdom of God, speaks to all creation. Romans would indicate that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. That's Psalm 19. But Romans 1 says that the creation of the world is clearly seen. And that the truth that there is a Creator God, that there is a God who rules and reigns over all of this universe, is clearly and powerfully known. Wisdom is speaking. There is a God. There is a God of incredible wisdom and power and goodness and beauty that can be seen in creation. But also it's seen in our consciences. Even the unregenerate have a conscience. It's flawed. It's marred very badly by the fall. But even every man that is born into this world has an innate sense, according to Romans 2, that there is right and there is wrong. There is evil and there is good. And that conscience can be seared with a hot iron, as Timothy would say. But wisdom is speaking. God is speaking clearly. He speaks that there is a God, there is truth, there is right, and there is wrong. I think and there's plenty of other evidences that we can see in this world today. But the sad thing is that men don't acknowledge that wisdom. By nature, they refuse that wisdom. Wisdom's crying. Every day when the sun rises and the sun sets and the beauty of creation is seen, wisdom is talking. The wisdom that there's a God is talking. That there's a God who rules and who reigns. It's amazing sometimes to, you know, skeptics against the Scriptures. And if you've ever studied the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful study. To study the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing the theories that men have concocted to try to explain away the resurrection. They bend over backwards. They jump through hula hoops, whatever it takes to explain away the resurrection. One of the theories is the swoon theory. It's that when Jesus died, he didn't all the way die on the cross, is the theory. He didn't all the way die. He was just almost dead. I mean, he was almost gone. But they took him off the cross, and they bound him in this tomb, and they sealed the tomb shut, of course, and the cool air kind of revived him. And so then he got up and he was somehow able to push a huge stone away from the door of the tomb after he was basically dead. And he was in there for 3 days and 3 nights without food and water and nourishment. And he was somehow able to be strong enough to lick all the Roman guards that were there. And so he didn't really die. And so there wasn't a resurrection. So he's not God. We laugh at that. But people, scholars, so-called, have actually embraced those kinds of theories. But the point I'm making is that wisdom speaks. The wisdom of Jesus Christ speaks in this world. The wisdom of God speaks in this world. But many, many don't hear. They don't want to hear that wisdom. But hopefully it's different for you and I tonight. Hopefully we're people of faith tonight that have bowed to and embraced Jesus Christ by faith and have said, "You are the Lord and you are the ruler over my life. You are my Savior. I believe that you died for my sins." And the question and the truth to us is also is that wisdom is speaking to you and I. You know, we cannot plead no access to God's wisdom, can we? If anybody, we in this 21st century, this New Testament era where we have the whole of the Scriptures, but also in this 21st century with technology, with the Bible and our own languages, we here tonight at this place cannot plead no access to God's Word. We can't plead no exposure. We can't plead no, we can't say, "Well, wisdom wasn't crying to me. I mean, understanding wasn't putting forth her voice to me. I didn't have access. Had I had access, I would have loved to know what wisdom was crying out." But we all know here tonight that wisdom speaks and we have access to wisdom. We can't plead no access. Every Sunday, let me just remind you of a few blessings that you and I, we all enjoy. Every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you're here, you have the privilege, I'm sure most Sunday mornings when Brother Zach preaches, that he's blessed of the Lord to preach the gospel. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. To know that the truth of God, the living gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and that you and I have access to it and we can hear it and receive it week in and week out. That's an incredible blessing of God. There are you have the copy of God's Word in your own language. I've heard recently of some, I think, the Wycliffe Bible translators who are trying to translate the Scriptures into languages that still don't have the Bible in their own language. Can you imagine that? In this year, 2010, there are still people groups who don't have a copy of God's Word in their own language. How blessed we are to have the Scriptures, the Word of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ itself in our own language, in our own tongue, freely accessible to us. We can come to the house of God. Sunday, our family was all sick. I was playing nurse to a house full of the stomach virus. And so I couldn't go to church. I hated it. I hated it like anything. But you know, it's amazing. I was able to turn on Brother Bradley and hear a wonderful message. When I caught a few moments of a breather from my nursing, I was able to read the Bible. Later on, I turned on the Christian station. I was able to hear a Presbyterian minister from Jackson, Mississippi, give a wonderful message that really encouraged me. I could have gotten on sermon audio and heard sermons. But the thing is that we have access to wisdom. Wisdom is crying out to you. The wisdom of God cries out to you. It's there. It's not silent. It's not non-existent. It's there. The wisdom of God calls out to His people today. We have Bible dictionaries. We have concordances. We have sermons that have been written down for our reading. We have study materials that are written down. We have people we can ask who know the Bible better than we do. But the question is tonight, and you know all that, but the question is this: am I hearing wisdom? Wisdom is crying out. The wisdom of God is speaking. Am I listening? Am I listening to the wisdom of God? Am I hearing the wisdom of God? And later on in Proverbs 8, I love the attitude, and I hope this will be all of our spirit, that we'll be refreshed in this way tonight. It's not just that we want to come hear a sermon. It's not just that we want to check off our list that we've done our chapter of our Bible reading today, or we've memorized three verses this week, and so we feel like we've accomplished that, which all those are things we ought to be doing. But here's the heart behind that. Here's the attitude behind that. Look in verse 34. Listen, this is wisdom speaking still. Wisdom personified, still speaking. And says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Here's the picture of an individual who's not just going to church and saying, "Yeah, I need to hear a sermon about Jesus." Not just picking up the Scripture and saying, "Yeah, I need to read a chapter." But here's somebody who is watching daily at the gates of wisdom, waiting at the post of my door. It's the image of like a person waiting for wisdom to cross the street or waiting for wisdom to come down the street. I'm eager. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to know more of my Savior. I want to know more of my God. I want to know more of His way. I want to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. And that's the heart that we ought to desire to have. Not just that I'm going to come do the church thing, that I'm going to go hear a sermon again, that I'm going to read my chapter now, but I want to hear from wisdom. I want to hear from wisdom. You know, I'm sure when you read the gospel sometimes, maybe a scene like Jesus when they let him out from the boat a little bit because the crowd's so big, and they let him out from the boat in the water and the crowd's at the shore and he's teaching from the boat. What a scene that must have been at. Just to be looking at the teacher. Maybe the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. When he's on the mountain, the whole multitude was there and he sat on down and here he was. Maybe he's sitting on a rock. Maybe he's standing. What must it have been like to sit there and hear Jesus? That must have been amazing. And we can all in our imagination go back and say, man, what? I'd love that. Just to maybe sit with the 12. Maybe sit at the Lord's Supper and just be there, just to hear His words. And you know, I know we can't physically go back in time and do that, but listen, when you hear the Word of God preached, or you're studying the Scriptures, or you're meditating upon them, you know what it ought to be like? It ought to be like a picture in your mind that I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm sitting at His feet. And that's what we're doing. When we read the Word of God, when we hear Him, when we think upon Him, when we seek Him in prayer, all these things, what we're doing is that we're in the classroom of our Savior. We're sitting at the feet of our Savior. What a better place could we want to be? You know, is that how that you look at your time of reading the Scriptures? Is that a way that you see yourself coming to the house of God to hear the Word of God? I want to come today and sit at the feet of the Master. I want to come today and sit at the feet of wisdom itself, Jesus Christ, and hear from His Word. So wisdom is calling out, but am I listening? Am I listening to wisdom? Am I hearing the wisdom of God? Well, I was thinking about that. I thought, well, what are some of the reasons why we don't hear as we ought to? Probably all of us here today can say, you know, I need to be more diligent, more eager to seek and to hear the wisdom of God and to hear Jesus Himself. But what are some reasons maybe that we don't hear? What are some reasons maybe that we're not hearing wisdom, that we're not sitting at His daily at His gates waiting for Him to pass by to hear what He has to say? Well, one of the main reasons is this, is that others are calling as well. Wisdom is calling, but others are calling as well. This is Proverbs 8. Proverbs 7 is the very graphic scene of the harlot, of the prostitute who seduces that man and brings him to his destruction. She also was calling. Yes, wisdom is calling in chapter 8. Wisdom is speaking. The wisdom of God is speaking. But I'm going to tell you, as you all well know tonight, wisdom is not the only voice calling at you tonight. Wisdom is not the only voice trying to gain your attention, trying to stop you and make you look and think. Wisdom is not the only voice that... Wisdom has competition, let's put it that way. Wisdom has competition. Other voices are calling out. Young, middle-aged, old alike, other voices are calling out. I think in Proverbs 7, it's not just the warning of that particular sin, but I think it's also somewhat of an imagery of just the world, of sin in general. Sin is calling out to us. And here's the fact of the matter, is we all have sinful desires, don't we? We're kidding ourselves if we say that we're not tempted by sin. That sin is not pleasurable, because it is, for a season. Sin, if it wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't go after it. If there was not some attraction within us, we would not pursue it. But we are all real with each other tonight. We know who we are. We're sinners. We have a sinful nature. We have weaknesses. We struggle with sin. We have things that can call our attention. So it's good for us to just admit that to ourselves. Not to put on some kind of a front as if I don't sin, I don't fall, I don't have weaknesses. No, I am a sinner. I have a wretched nature. Now, I do have wisdom also. That's the good news. I hear the voice of wisdom. But I must recognize, as I'm trying to sit daily at the gates of wisdom, that wisdom is not the only voice that's calling for my attention. I think of, you know, a picture in my mind of maybe you're at a carnival or at a fair or something, and how many different things are trying to get your attention. Here's the juggler over here, and he's saying, hey, come here, look at me, look at me. And here's some guy with some animals over here doing some trick. And there's the cotton candy salesman over here. And here's a guy, you know, riding a unicycle over here. And you walk down and you're just filled with images and filled with people calling your attention. That's how we are. We're in the carnival of the world, aren't we? We're in the fair of this world. And our job is to not look at any of it and to straight run down the path and see Jesus at the end and say, that's my goal. That's what I'm pursuing. But it's hard, isn't it? Because God calls us to live in, for our analogy, the carnival of this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. He's called us to be here, to be salt, and to be light. Young people, you know it. This over here say, hey, come look at me. Hey, come spend some time. Check this out. Look at this thing over here. Not all evil things in and of themselves, but we have to admit that wisdom has competition, doesn't it? This is calling for your attention. This is calling for attention. This is attractive. This is saying, look at me. So we have to recognize wisdom is not the only voice that's calling us. You know, you remember John 10, the chapter of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But you know, also in that chapter, Jesus also talked about the stranger. And he said, the stranger's voice they don't hear. And that's good. That's praise God. That's our eternal security. But I tell you what, even though for good, for permanency, for eternity, God's people don't totally heed the voice of a stranger, yet we can, in some small ways, hear and heed the voice of the stranger in this world that we live in. The voice of the thief. The voice of the deceiver. So just remember that tonight. That one reason may be why sometimes I'm not hearing as I ought. Maybe sometimes why I'm not listening and sitting at the gates of wisdom as I ought is because other voices are calling. Other voices are calling my name. Maybe it's not something overtly sinful like the Proverbs 7 woman. But maybe it's in this culture we live in, there are other truths that are calling our names. Other wisdoms out there. In other words, listen, your truth is not the only truth. There's all kinds of truths out there. There's all kinds of wisdoms out there. Maybe there's creeping doubt that Satan puts in our mind that says, that's not true. That's what he told Eve. You're not going to die if you eat that thing. It's not true. This is truth over here. And so there's a competition. There's other things claiming to be truth. You hear it in the academic world all the time. There are other truths. It's not just your truth. There's other truths. And maybe even sometimes things that we believe for a long time, maybe Satan sometimes can say, that's not really true. Maybe he can tell a father and a family man who's trying to serve the Lord and just trying to be faithful. He's saying, you know what? You're really missing out. Give more of yourself to your career. Put the family on the sideline for a little while. Give more of yourself to them and things will be better. Have a little more, you know, pleasure. Have a little more little things on the side that maybe no one else knows about. You're missing out. Don't just do this thing of trying to be a good employee and then you're trying to be faithful in the house of God. There's other greater, more exciting things out there. Maybe you see other people on the job and they talk about their exciting things they do on the weekend. They're just full of pleasure, sound just great. Other wisdoms, other voices calling out. There's competition with wisdom. But also, not only is it the next one I would notice of another reason why we don't hear wisdom like we ought to, why we don't hear Christ and listen eagerly to Christ as we ought to, is something just that's more personal. It's called just plain laziness. And that gets a lot of us, doesn't it? Just plain laziness. Just plain, I've got so many other things to do, or I don't feel like it, or I don't want to. Listen, mining the gold mine of wisdom takes effort. It just does. Serving God is just takes a lot of effort. Daddy speaks in the verse often about give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give all diligence. Serving the Lord requires effort. It requires commitment. It requires sacrifice. And sometimes it's just plain old laziness. I don't really feel like going to God's house tonight. I don't really want to read the scriptures today, or I meant to. I put it on my to-do list. I wanted to study this subject out. I wanted to talk to this person about this. Sometimes it's just plain laziness. But I'm going to give you some encouragement with that, though, in verse 17 of Proverbs 8. Listen to what wisdom promises. Here's a promise. Here is a promise to the person who seeks wisdom, who seeks Jesus Christ. It says in verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Be encouraged. There's some people at Carville right now that they've been asking me, saying, listen, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. I mean, it's some of the people that haven't read it before much, I have a hard time understanding this. You understand it. You preach about it. It's hard for me to understand. Be diligent. Be persistent. Be faithful. If you consistently seek God and say, Lord, open up my eyes, give me understanding, and you consistently seek to know more of wisdom, to know more of Jesus, to know more of the truth of God, the promise of not me, but the promise of God says, those that seek me early shall find me. Early, speaking of diligence, speaking of effort, speaking of commitment. That's good to know. Those that seek me early shall find me. So there's other voices calling. There's just plain laziness. But maybe it's something else. And this gets me sometimes. Why I don't hear wisdom very intently sometimes. And sometimes, frankly, it just kind of blends in with everything else. What I mean by that is this. I'll give you another example. When I work at the radio station, there's a lot of programs that really interest me. And so I'm doing my work and I hear something that the guy says, like, man, I really want to listen to that. But I really can't because I've got to do my work. And so sometimes there's a great program going on, something I really want to hear, but the phone's ringing, I'm doing this, and it's there, it's good, but it's just blending in. Sometimes at home, Meredith has to say, hey, Timothy, they're talking to you. She's talking about the children. You know, sometimes you have to tune them out. There's just noise you have to tune out. But sometimes, they're there. I'm hearing them. This is good. They're fine. But they're saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I'm not listening. That's how it is sometimes with us, isn't it? We're coming to church. We're hearing the Scriptures. We're reading the Word of God. But it's just blending in with everything else. It's just not jumping out at us. It's not, and it's because it's just blending in. So those are things sometimes why we may not be hearing and listening to wisdom as we ought to. Another thing, though, I think this proverb mentions, and I'll read a couple more verses. Notice in verse 10. So wisdom is speaking. Are we listening to wisdom? But listen, notice how that it's almost like a salesman, but it's not a salesman because it's true. He's just highlighting over and over again the incredible value of wisdom. And I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about just God, about Jesus, about the truth of His Word, about wisdom in all of its facets. It's incredible value. Now listen, as I read these Scriptures, either Solomon, who's God's instrument in writing this, either he is deluded, or he's just a liar who's carrying you for a ride, or he is speaking the truth. It's one of those three things. Everything that he says about wisdom, he's going to say some incredible things about wisdom. And either he's a liar, he just likes to deceive people and send them on a wild goose chase, or he's just deluded. He's a sincere guy, but he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. Or what he's saying about wisdom is true. It's one of those three things, and we all know what it is. Verse 10. Listen to these incredible claims he makes. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Some people say, well, you can't say that. You can't say what you believe better than this. You can't say the Bible is better than other holy books. This is what he says. It's better. I'm going to make that claim. Solomon here, no apologies, no footnotes. He just going to say, it's better. It's more valuable. It's more precious than all of those other things. Verse 18, he says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, get this, durable riches. I like that. Durable riches. Lasting treasure. Not wealth that's here and then gone. Not wealth that fades and loses value. You know, the stock market can gain value and get incredibly valuable, or it can lose its value. Depends on the day. Depends on the trend. Depends on the time. But the riches of God, the riches of Jesus Christ, the riches of His Word, they're durable. That means they're time-tested. They always have the same incredible value. He says in verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit their substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's a pretty big claim. Solomon is making a big claim. Think about it. And think about who's writing this. It's Solomon. Who's the human instrument of God in writing this? It's Solomon. And God is inspiring Solomon, but He's also using Solomon's personal experience. What do you know about Solomon? You know he was a rich man. You know, he was filthy rich. You read in the descriptions of his kingdom, this guy was loaded. He had it all. He had entertainment. He had men singers and women singers. They probably just put on concerts for him. He had horses. He had incredible exotic animals. You read the description of his kingdom. He had incredible wealth. He had it all. Now, if I tell you that's one thing. But listen, of course, if God says it's all that really matters, but I tell you it's one thing. But what about somebody who's lived it? What about somebody who's lived it? And he says, listen, it's not all, it's really true. It's not all it's cracked up to be. But not only is it not all it's cracked up to be, but I know something, Solomon says, that's even better than all the wealth that I have. Something that's better than gold. You stack up a life fortune right here, and you stack up the Bible over here. And Solomon's saying, you know what? This Bible, the Jesus of this Bible is more valuable and precious than this stack over here. You choose this. You go after this. That's a big claim. You know, we laugh sometimes at the radio station with the news that we run on satellite, that they send these spots down that they produce. And, you know, and we laugh at stuff like, call this number and work 15 hours a week and you'll be set for life. And you go on cruises and on yachts. And we just laugh at it. You know, they said they're so sincere and so real. People fall for that stuff and buy that stuff all the time. Buy this product. This will be the secret to better health. I mean, you'll feel better and no wrinkles, and just call this 800 number. But just have your credit card ready is the key there. People fall for that stuff and buy it all the time. Well, say it does. Say it stacks you up for life. Gives you all the money you need for life. Maybe it does, you know, give you 10 more years in your life. Takes all your wrinkles away. Let me tell you this, though. It cannot speak to your soul. Jesus Christ can do something I can't do for you. Jesus Christ, speaking through His Word, can speak things and say things to your heart and do things for your heart that I can't do for you, that no one else can do for you. The Word of God speaks to the very core of our souls. That's why it's so valuable. That's why it's so precious. It speaks to the very depths of who that we are. And it's truth. It's solid. It's durable. It's valuable. So the incredible value of wisdom. It said of Jesus in Colossians 2:3. It says that in Him, get this, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In the previous verse in there in Colossians 2, it talks about the riches of full understanding. Paul's using this language, riches, treasures. Do we believe that? God help us to believe that. We do in our heads, don't we? But we need that laser-like spiritual focus to say, I see that. I believe that. That is my treasure. That is what is truly valuable. But just think about it, though. Think about some of the incredible riches that God gives us in His Word. Well, I thought about, there's a lot of things we could say. I thought about Habakkuk. You know, he's been teaching on Habakkuk the last several Wednesday nights. We say that the Bible is sufficient for all that we need. Well, aren't you glad that the Bible is sufficient to give you instruction on how to be in a time of crisis? That's Habakkuk. That God's Word gives you the wisdom. Not just a, you know, a three-step plan that might or might not work. But God's Word gives you principles and gives us wisdom to know how to survive in a crisis. To know how to make it in a storm. That's what Habakkuk is. Everything, his life was falling apart. What a great study that's been. His life was just, it was falling apart. Everything was being turned upside down. Everything that he knew was being shaken. But the just shall live by faith. God's in His holy temple. Believe Him. Trust Him. From fear to faith, all the things that He's been teaching us the last few Wednesday nights. That's treasure, brothers and sisters. That's wisdom right there, because you will go through a crisis. You will go through trouble. We will go through trouble. We may face things that really will throw us for a loop. It may be bizarre. Say, this is not happening. Wake me up from this dream. But thanks be to God that in His incredible generosity that He gives us valuable truth, valuable principle by which we can understand and know how to embrace and endure through a time like that. What a blessing it is to have truth, not fairy tale, but truth, when you come to a burying of one of God's people. That's valuable. That's valuable. In the few funerals that I've been called upon to speak in, I tell you, it's such a good feeling. I've thought it several times. You know, I'm so glad today I don't have to go to this funeral chapel and go to this graveside service and just come up with something. I'm so glad I don't have to, you know, just think of something catchy. Think of something that will really, you know, just ring true with their hearts. I don't have to do that because I have the Word of God. I have the truth of the Word of God. It's so valuable, so precious, that's real. If anything is going to comfort their hearts, that's what it'll be. It won't be any scheme I come up with. It'll be the Word of God that I come up with. The Word of God is valuable. It's treasure because it's what it gives us. The truth. It helps us to know Jesus Christ better. And that's what it's all about, is knowing Him better. That's how I can know Him better. It's knowing God better. The Word of God is precious. Imagine if the Bible didn't speak to the subject of salvation. Think about that for a minute. Imagine the Bible said a lot of things, but didn't say anything about how sins are washed away. It didn't say anything about how sins are forgiven. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? A lot of principles. A lot of good practical truth, a lot of good instruction. But imagine if you didn't know the truth of what saves the soul of men. If you didn't know, you thought about it, you wondered, you said like Job, I know it's of the truth, but how can a man be just with God? How can somebody be just? How can somebody be pure? Is there a way? God's shown it to you. God's given it to you. He's revealed it to you in your Word. To carry it with you every day, to run back to that cross every day. God's Word is valuable. And it's precious. What incredible value that it has. It also warns us of danger. Isn't that valuable? Well, Proverbs 7, we already alluded to that. God's Word warns us of danger. Sometimes we look at the commands of God or the warnings of God, and we don't like them. That's how I am sometimes. I don't want to be, you know, taken off my rocking chair. Don't prod me. Don't poke me. I don't want all that. Don't search my heart, Lord. Don't make it hard on me. Don't put pressure on me. But you know what? God's commands are loving commands. And when He gives warnings, they're loving warnings for our own good. I've told this analogy to Carville Church before. Imagine that you're driving home one night. You got your family in the car. You're tired. You're ready to get home. And you come around a corner, and all of a sudden there's a barricade there, and there's a cop car, and he's turning everybody around saying, you've got to take a detour. You can't go down this road. And you're annoyed. It's going to take me 30 minutes longer now to get home from this detour. I'm really upset. You pull up there, roll down your window, and say, Officer, what is the deal with this thing? He said, well, the bridge ahead just washed out, and 10 cars have already gone down into the ditch below. Your emotions would change just like that. You would, the annoyance would turn to thanksgiving. Thank you, officer. Thank you, somebody pointed this out before it was too late for me and for my family. Thank God there was a barricade there. Thank God there was somebody who called the officer, called the cops and said, hey, there's a problem here. That's what God's warnings are to us. That's why it's valuable. Because He's saying, don't go down this road. There is danger here. There's trouble here. God's Word has incredible value. But in closing, what's our response to that? Well, He says it here in the last part of this proverb, chapter 8. We know that wisdom speaks. Wisdom's crying out loud. Wisdom is speaking. There's different reasons why we don't hear it sometimes. We looked at that. We looked at the wisdom is valuable. I think we all believe it tonight. Wisdom is valuable. But what's my response to that? What's my response to wisdom? I know wisdom's valuable. I know it's precious. More precious than rubies, more precious than silver. Solomon was right. We believe him. We embrace that truth. But what is your and my response tonight to wisdom? Does wisdom impact me? Is wisdom put into practice in my life? What good will a $100 bill do you if you just keep it hidden in your drawer somewhere? It's not gaining any interest. You're not spending it. It's just there. You have it for 30 years, 40 years. It's just there. What good is wisdom? What good is this wisdom that's more precious than gold if it doesn't impact my life? What good is this wisdom that I hear preached day after Sunday after Sunday? What good is this wisdom that I read about if it doesn't move my heart, if it doesn't change my life, if it doesn't influence my thoughts, heart, word, actions, all of those things? I'll be quiet now and let Solomon speak in verse 32. Summarizing all this up, my response to wisdom. He says, now therefore hearken unto me. Listen. That's what he says, hearken. Listen unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Hear. Hear it. Listen. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Have you ever refused wisdom? I have. You ever said, no, I don't want that. I don't want it. Hear, be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Powerful words. May God help us to hear His wisdom more and more. I'd like to pray in closing before we sing one more song. Father, I just bow before You tonight, and I thank You so much for the incredible gift of wisdom. Not just some generic truisms, Lord, but the very epitome of wisdom, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Him. Thank You that we can know Him by Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for the wisdom of Your Word. But Father, I know that all of us tonight share the same probably emotions, Lord, that we want to be impacted by wisdom. We want to hear it. We want to embrace it. Help us, Father, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that these precious truths would be real in our hearts and they would come out in our lives, Lord, that You may receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in our lives.